Hello, Holly.
That's quite the jangly theme, Dave.
Oh.
Hi.
Yeah, it is a little jangly, don't you think?
It is.
Because, you know, we're talking 83, and we love jangly music.
Mm-hmm.
That was the sound. A little bit. Partially.
The British seem partial to that description, jangly.
Yeah?
I think.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be like you're rattling your jewelry or something.
Yeah.
Is that what how jangly comes about?
That's how I think of jangly.
Okay.
So, hi. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Is this the morning show?
It is the morning show.
All right. The morning zoo?
No. Beep, beep, I have a headache already.
Okay.
Good morning and welcome to What Difference Does It Make? The podcast.
Yes,
where we talk all things 80s.
But mostly music.
Yes.
Thank you, Holly, for that tagline.
You're welcome.
It's on our website.
And thank you for the beautiful website. I feel that I'm not giving you enough your due credit. Dave created our entire website, and he is not just our webmaster. He is the webmaster.
Not at all.
You got to check it out. Check out his brilliant handiwork.
There you go. As I posted, I built it with my mm-hmm. bare hands. Mm-hmm.
And he means his bare hands because he has hands like bears.
Oh, it's gross. What is the website address? Do you know it?
I do know it. It is wddimpodcast.com.
Wonderful. And we're in the middle of 1983. We're actually cresting soon. We'll be reaching the top. But right now, we are going over all the songs that were played on KROQ in 1983. We are basing our list on what they originally played back in 1983. It was 106.7 songs, and we are looking at them in 10 song chunks.
However,
there's a caveat.
They have since pared down the list to 80 songs for their KROQ HD2 channel. So that means 26.7 songs have been eliminated from that original list, and there are only a few left that have been eliminated from the list, and we're going to guess which ones they were.
True. This list only has two songs that are not on the list. I will ask Holly what songs she believes are not on this list. Out of the 10 songs that we will discuss today, it's 30 to 21.
So I'm going to nail it this time.
Okay. Wonderful. I like the confidence. Okay, so we're going to start with number 30. It's the English Beat, Save It For Later.
Yay!
All right, on their updated list on the Rock of the 80s, it's now at number 27.
But it only made it to 47. It didn't even chart here in the States, right? It only got to number 47 in the UK, which surprises me.
Do you call them the Beat or the English Beat?
I call them both. I used to call them the Beat. I used to call them the Beat because I was, you know, hip or want to be hip, but now I refer to them as the English Beat.
I think we all call it the English Beat here in the States.
Yeah.
If you're listening in the UK, my apologies. Apparently there was another band called the Beat in the US.
Oh.
I think so. Same with, the Charlatans UK is what we call them.
And not just the Charlatans.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, little give and take with the name.
So this is the English Beat, Save It For Later from Special Beat Service.
Probably the song they're most known for, I would think.
Say yes, and which is why it surprised me that it didn't chart here.
As I was reading up on this, it's funny.
Give me a fact.
Well, I didn't realize that it's double entendre type thing.
I didn't either.
I didn't know. It was a little schoolboy joke.
And now it seems so obvious. Well, I think when you see it in writing, right? Do you want to say what where it is for people who may not know?
Well, the song is called Save It For Later.
Right. Do you know he wrote this when he was a teenager? It was before he formed the English Beat.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, go ahead. So yes,
So now it makes sense that he wrote it as a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And you think of, you say Save It For Later, but it's actually... Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to say it?
Yeah, sure.
It feels so nasty.
I know. Well, that's why I'm letting you say it.
So save it, comma, for later, but it's save it, F-E-L-L-A-T-O-R. Save it for later.
Save it.
Save it for later.
For later. Brilliant.
Yes, he claims that he didn't know. Dave Wakeling says he didn't know it was going to be a joke that lasted for 30 years.
And I never was in on the joke.
No, me either.
Until the year 2020. 40 years later, I go. Funny.
And that's March of 2020. Yeah. Have you ever heard, Pearl Jam plays it as a part of a medley?
As a
You've
big,
heard it?
Yeah. Yeah. As a big Pearl Jam fan, they like to sprinkle it in once in a while.
That's cool.
That's wonderful. And also, I don't know, this is as we post videos on the, on our website, now that we have it at WDDIM podcast, there's a great version of Pete Townsend singing it.
Oh, yeah, which you're going to put on the website.
Apparently, Pete is a huge fan of this song.
I had no idea. I would love to hear it.
Okay. There was a time that I guess the song had been out for a little bit, and Dave Wakelin got a call, as one does, and they said, hey, I got Pete Townsend on the phone. He's like, yeah, okay, sure. So he picks, you know, like anyone would. It's like, hello, Pete Townsend. It's like, hey, it's Pete Townsend. I had a question. What is the tuning of the song Save It For Later? Me and my friend Dave Gilmore can't figure it out. Like,
am I being punked?
Right, exactly.
Or am I in candid camera, we would say back then.
So, of course, eventually he figured out that he was actually talking to Pete Townsend. Like, the fingering just doesn't work. What is the tuning? And I guess, apparently, that the tuning was a mistake, where on the guitar he tuned it D-A-D-A-A-D. Instead of the usual D-A-D-G-A-D.
Oh.
So it was just a mistake. But
so did Dave clear it up for him?
Dave did clear it up for him. On the video, Pete says the same thing. Like, okay, this is a weird tuning. And then he plays all the strings. It's like, you know, he makes a face like, this is bizarre tuning, but it works. Yeah, it's really cool. On I guess in a solo turn, the YouTube version I saw was in '85, and it's just him on guitar. And there's, of course, because it's '85, there's a saxophone in there and some backup singers. It's a cool version of it. I like it.
So check our website.
Yeah,
it'll be there.
Yeah, and I also like. Were you? Did you have the Special Beat Service?
Sure,
you did have that.
It
album.
Came out in 1982.
Right.
So I was still in high school. Yeah, I mean when the album came out, and I had a boyfriend who was into it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, into it. That's how I got turned on to them. Yeah.
That whole scene, that ska scene was, it always seemed cool to me.
Yeah. We've talked about this. Yeah,
I
know.
I could never get into
I felt like a poser. I tried to dress the part. I was kind of a poser.
Couldn't get the dress right. Couldn't dance without, looking like a geek. I still love that, the music. It's just infectious.
Yes. Infectious. It is.
Oh, so good. So let's move on to number 29. What do you got?
To a song that is equally good.
Okay. What would that be?
That would be a Pale Shelter from Tears for Fears from The Hurting.
In parentheses, You Don't Give Me Love.
That's parenthetical.
I think
yes,
so.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It was the original version was released with the parentheses. And then it was re-released in April of 1983. And I think they just released it as Pale Shelter.
All right. But we love parentheses.
We do like parentheses, parentheses. We know we're big in 1983.
Yeah. This song, fairly brilliant.
This song is brilliant, not just fairly brilliant.
Okay.
It is.
I like it just even from the start, just the fade in with the little keyboard, the little guitar distortion into the acoustic guitar strum.
Yeah.
And then just, kicking into the song. I love that.
I don't have a word to describe how it makes you feel when you hear that first guitar, that first strumming. There's just something.
It's a release.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's a good word.
All right.
I love this song.
I also love the lyrics. Someone's a little frustrated with love.
Yeah.
When you don't give me love, you give me pale
shelter.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You want to sing the parentheses?
I don't want to finish your sentences.
When
you don't
give me love.
You give me pale shelter.
Yeah.
You don't give me love.
Then the next one. But then when you don't give me love, you give me pale shelter. You don't give me love.
You give me
cold hands.
Yeah. I was going to say cold change.
And I can't operate on this failure when all I want to do is be completely in command. Completely in command. Which is why Kurt Smith is the better vocalist than me.
Yeah.
Good choice.
That's funny. Speaking of, so when they were deciding who was going to sing a particular song.
Yes.
It was just the two of them. So Roland Orzabal, he says, obviously came down to their tone of voice, but he said, if it's a softer song, it's normally me. If it requires being belted, it's normally Roland. My voice is a lot darker, more melancholic, and Roland is more of a shouter. He's trying to make a point.
Okay.
Which is very loud.
That's hilarious. Oh, okay. So, yeah, they worked out as a duo how to do it. I happen to see, I'm on Twitter once in a while. I don't know why this appeared on my feed, especially in the year 2020, but this is from the Twitter account, Ian Curtis is Hungry. And he tweeted, actually, like a week ago, from February 25th. Every photo of Tears for Fears looks like a couple who just had a fight and aren't talking to each other, which is true.
I think that is true. So you looked up a bunch of pictures.
So I looked up a bunch of pictures.
They're very serious looking.
As I'll have Holly scroll through all these, she could look like they just...
He's smiling there.
Well, yeah, but one of them isn't, or one of them's looking away. It's like my cat or something, you know, trying to get attention. They're giving each other pale shelter or something.
Or just shade.
A little bit of shade.
Wow, yeah, I guess you're right. But some of these are just posed.
I don't know if that's planned. And these pictures I'm showing are different years, different eras, but they always seem to kind of look in different directions.
Smile, boys.
Yeah, they're just miserable who knows.
We'll post a variety.
Sure, we could do that. Also, last thing, are you familiar with The Weeknd? He has a song called Secrets.
Yeah.
Do you know that song?
No, I know the song, but I don't know the lyrics or anything. What are you going
to tell me about? Well, the Pale Shelter is sampled on there. And then there's another part of it, where the chorus, where it's another 1983 song, where the chorus is Talking in Your Sleep, the romantic song. So he's doing, it's two songs from 83 that he has sampled.
So he's a big fan of the 80s.
I guess so.
The Weeknd.
Wasn't a big hit. Apparently he's a fan of 1983.
All right.
As we are.
Shout out to The Weeknd.
There you go. Yeah. He's coming back.
I kind of like 1983.
It's a good year.
If I haven't said so before. I love 1983.
So, and here's one of the reasons you like 1983.
For so many reasons.
All right.
Number 28 being one of them.
Oh, by the way.
Those are both on the list.
They are. We had said the English Beat is at number 27 now. Tears for Fears is at number 26. Adam Ant's Strip is the song we're talking about now. Yes. Back in 1983 is at 28. In the updated list, it's at number 25.
Yeah. No brainer.
No brainer. And can you tell me who is the drummer on this song?
Well, I can. So we talked about last week that Puss in Boots appeared?
It was a couple of weeks back.
When we talked about Phil Collins playing drums on Puss in Boots, I didn't know he played on Strip also.
I did not know either.
Yeah.
I did not know that one. I didn't realize that also the woman who's doing the vocal part.
Yeah.
It's Frida from ABBA. From ABBA.
How about that?
The greatest band of all time.
I did not know that either. And so Phil Collins also helped produce it, but Hugh Padgham, he produced Split Enz and XTC, The Police, Sting, David Bowie.
He had his fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah. Hugh Padgham on Adam Ant's Strip.
Yeah. Do you still like this?
Yeah.
Did you watch the video?
I don't remember the video.
Oh, sure you do. It's kind of, they dress up in different,
like a
fantasy
type
thing. And they're going back in the centuries to, different times, how they used to shock people with their clothing. And, Adam just wants to strip. And by the end of the video, he's taken off his shirt. He's dancing around and, it's everything you want from Adam Ant.
Everything I'm going to hope for, and you too, I assume, because you are going to be my date now for when we go see Adam Ant.
I am hoping he keeps his shirt on as a 60-year-old man now.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We can't all be Billy Idol.
No, that's true. But I'd like to get a look, though.
By the way, Billy Idol is he's doing this public service announcement for New York City.
He is?
He is. He's... I guess in New York now, you're not supposed to idle your car while you're waiting. So
what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to turn off your car.
Oh, so a lot of new cars do turn off themselves.
So yes. Billy is telling people, Billy doesn't idle. Billy turns off his car.
Is that what he uses? Billy doesn't idle?
I think that's the hashtag now. But you could... Maybe I'll post that PSA on the website as well.
Does he live in New York?
He must, I don't know, but New York hired him.
Yeah.
To do this.
Well, that's not organic if he doesn't live in New York. Although you could not idle everywhere.
True.
I mean, you don't want to
Well, we idle living in LA. That's all we do. We spend half our life idling on the freeway.
Yeah, that's true. Billy Idol. Wow. Yeah. Did you listen to
Billy
him?
Billy doesn't idle.
He's on that. That's great. That's a good one. He's on a Sirius XM. He does something transmission show on Sirius XM. I like listening to his voice. I like him. I've always liked, well, you know, yeah, I have a thing for him.
Sure. And he still looks great.
Yeah, he does.
So this thing from the New York Times, can you see that?
It says, with a rebel yell, New York revs up its war on idling vehicles via Billy Idol.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll post that video.
One. It is pretty good.
It is good. Good on New York.
Yeah.
It's a fun city.
Yes. So we were not really talking about...
No, we're not talking Billy Idol.
We're talking Adamant.
We're talking exclusively about Adamant.
Well, we did, and now we're moving on up to number 27. And yes, that Adamant song is still on the countdown, which I think you already said.
Yes, I did say. Number 25. Okay, so now we move up to another iconic song.
Another song with parentheses.
Sweet Dreams.
Are Made of This.
By the Eurythmics. Now, back in 83, it's at 27. Now it's at number 24.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, this iconic song was something the record company did not believe in initially. They thought there wasn't a chorus. We shouldn't release this as a single. However,
it's not often that a record label is wrong.
Yeah. However, just like what happened with Red, Red Wine, there was a DJ. This person was in Cleveland, and he kept playing the song, and it started getting a local response, and the label was like, all right, let's try this song and see what happens. But it's on you, your Eurythmics. Whatever happens, it's your fault. The rest is
now
history.
Now it's their credit.
Yeah.
Well, not my favorite Eurythmics song.
You're kidding.
Annie Lennox. This one, no. And maybe it's because it was overplayed and it was just, I have so many other songs of theirs that I love.
I love it just because it was the introduction to this band, the Eurythmics, and this crazy.
She's so cool.
This front woman, Annie Lennox, just... I remember the video with the gloved hand and the spiky red hair. Like, who is this? Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though, it was like,
oh,
it was
no,
so
I love
different.
Her. It's not, I love her, them, both of them.
Right.
But just this song, I mean, I loved it back then, but it didn't, other of their songs had more longevity to me.
Okay, fine.
But apparently, giving it its due credit, other people obviously felt differently than me.
It didn't make it as the number one song in the UK.
Only number two.
Because Total Eclipse of the Heart stood in its way. And then it almost didn't make it into the US number one spots because The Police's Every Breath You Take was hogging up the space.
Ooh.
Eventually, it did take the number one spot in the US.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Do you know, so the song normally ends with a keyboard fade out?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you can hear it in your head. But when they play it live, they change the arrangement and they end the song with the lyrics, keep your head up, so it would end with a sense of hope. I mean, it ends with keep your head up, but I mean, the lyric is in there, but it doesn't end with it. But Dave Stewart wanted to end with it because it felt more positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep it positive.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, keep your head up.
Hi. Argent.
Oh,
hold your head up. Hold your head up. Marilyn Manson did a cover of this song.
Yes, he did.
And surprisingly, the record label did not want to release that song as a single, but Marilyn insisted, and the label was like, fine, do whatever you want to do, we'll put it out, but I don't think it's going to work. And of course, that's one of his probably top five songs.
Yeah, so again,
good job, record label, doing it.
Who else released it, do you know?
Please tell me.
Weezer?
I remember, Weezer recently put out a covers album. Now, that was the one with Africa. I'm sure Sweet Dreams is probably, they did like an 80s cover, a bunch of 80s songs. Yeah. I'm sure that's on there.
I knew everything about Weezer.
I know things about Weezer, not everything. That's a good song for them to do. I could hear it. I much prefer the Eurythmics version.
Yeah. You know, she called herself... she talked about her days before the Eurythmics, and she said, I was really a hybrid between Stevie Wonder and Joni Mitchell, walking the streets as a singer, songwriter, but nobody knew it but me.
Do you think
that's an accurate? I mean, obviously, if she's saying it about herself, then it must be, but.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder and Joni Mitchell. Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. No, I mean, she's super talented.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
Him too, by the way. No, you think of both of them.
Yeah, think of him lurking in the background. It's not like Tears for Fear, you know, like with Hall & Oates, it's all, you think Hall. With duos, you know, there's always duos. Tears for Fears, though, I think were
both
think
of them. Equal.
Yeah, because they both had, they both did the vocals.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon. Well, but no, that was both a duo, because no one could sing like Art.
But Annie Lennox, so the Eurythmics, maybe you're right by a smidge, but the difference is he is a big behind the scenes guy. You know, he's not, yeah. It's not his thing to be up front. He's the producer, the, you know,
right.
Contributor in a million ways.
Yeah.
And she is the face.
Right. The brilliant thing is, I mean, usually, you know, you think of the producer, he's the puppet master controlling everything. Mm-hmm. But I think this was a true collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would get back together and play some shows.
Eurythmics, get the band back together.
Yeah, let's get the band back together.
Yes, and this song is still on the list.
Yes, number 24 now.
Hey, can we take a break?
Yeah, let's do that. We will be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
We're back. We had coffee.
It's exciting. So exciting.
Dave didn't have coffee.
All right, let's get back into the podcast. Let's move on to number 26. Echo and the Bunnymen, Never Stop. Liverpudlians.
Liverpudlians.
Yes, Liverpudlians.
I think this one might have fallen off the list.
No, this is still on the list.
Oh.
Number 23.
Well, I'm happy about that, but I thought maybe this was one. Okay.
No.
Wow. Yeah. So yeah, they're big on Echo and the Bunnymen.
They are. Echo and the Bunnymen were huge in 83.
I know that, and I know that they know that, but I just thought that this one might have. There's a couple of others that, you know, that are still on the list.
I know. It's very, as Freddie has said, it's very arbitrary, a lot of these songs.
Yes, I know.
I don't understand. Well, I do understand, but back in 83, Echo and the Bunnymen were huge, and, you know, they still need to be recognized.
Yes. I could not agree with you more.
Yeah, so that's good on the good on K-Rock, their new updated Rock of the 80s playlist. I'm sure they get a lot of love on there.
Yeah.
You like talking producers. This was produced by Hugh Jones. He produced Whisper to a Scream, oh. Ice Cold Works, I'll Melt
Birds
with You.
Fly.
Yeah. I'll Melt with You. Oh. Yeah, so he another 80s type producer. Talked about interviews. We need to get in some producers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we need to find some people.
What do you know?
I will reach out to people. You reach out to people as well.
Producers, okay.
They can tell more stories.
Yeah. You know that the band started with a drum machine and they replaced the drum machine with an actual drummer?
Shocking in 83.
Yes. Yeah. You know, they got a lot of questions from the press about where the band name came from.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that the drum machine was called Echo. And that's how they got people to, it was not true, but that's how they got people to stop asking about the band name.
That's fine.
The drum machine didn't have a name.
Going back to Save It For Later, I think there was someone in the band that didn't like the sound of Save It For Later. They didn't have real drums on there.
Because it was 1983?
Because it was 1983. But, you know, that was the sound. That's what people did.
As I've, even rock bands.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to Huey Lewis has been doing a few interviews, and he's talked about on sports, he had this electronic drum sound that he was one of the first people to get in the studio, and he loved that sound. And that he's like, this is what the band's going to sound like. This is what we need. And apparently it was because, you know, the album was Sports.
So he really felt that a drummer couldn't recreate the sound that he'd gotten from the drum machine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needed this unique sound, and I think the American public agreed.
Yeah,
in 1983,
it was kind of a hit.
Yeah, he had like 1,500 hits on that album. There were a lot of cuts on that album.
1,500.
Yeah,
it's a lot to squeeze into. Oh,
it was a lot, but everyone was a hit.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep counting them down.
All right, so we're at number 25. This is "Karma Chameleon" by Culture Club. It spent 3 weeks at number one in the U.S., 6 weeks at number one in the U.K. Became the UK's biggest selling single of the year in 1983. To date, it is the 38th biggest selling single of all time in the UK, selling 1.52 million copies. It has sold over 5 million global copies, making it one of the best selling singles of all time worldwide. It is not on the K-Rock list.
It's not.
It's not in the updated list anymore.
Arbitrary.
Yeah.
Or maybe for that reason.
Who knows?
It's such a huge song.
Oh, it's too big. Wow. Too big. We can't. No one wants to hear this. It's too big a hit.
I'm shocked. I would not have guessed that. So thanks for sparing me the embarrassment of...
That's all right. yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, the first two songs on the K-Rock list, it was Karma Chameleon and Miss Me Blind are not on the updated list. I don't know why. I mean, because maybe, you know, they had...
They're too big.
As we discussed last week, there were five songs on Culture Club songs on the original list. And so far, there are zero Culture Club songs on the updated list. I'm sure
there will
as we
be
go
some.
Through, there will be some. Because you have to acknowledge Culture Club.
You can't completely ignore Culture Club.
You cannot.
No.
Number's too big to ignore, as someone once said.
Do you like the song?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, Karma Chameleon. First of all, brilliant. Two words that go great together, like peanut butter and jelly.
Karma Chameleon. Yes, they just flow off your tongue.
Yeah. Karma Chameleon. Yeah. I have a hard time saying it, but...
It's about the terrible fear of alienation that people have, the fear of standing up for one thing. It's about trying to suck up to everybody. Basically, if you aren't true, if you don't act like you feel, then you get karma justice. That's nature's way of paying you back, according to Boy George.
So pick your lane? Is that what he's saying?
That's what he would say if he was, you know... trying to describe this in 2020. The song was in a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows, which
I can't name one.
Yeah. I can name a lot of them, but I don't remember hearing the songs in the movies. Okay.
Any popular movies?
Well, Romy and Michelle, which I'm sure you saw. It seems like your kind of movie.
It is my kind of movie.
I know.
I love Romy and Michelle. It is actually pretty good still. It's one of those songs where it immediately...
It's 80s, if you're trying to evoke the 80s.
Right. It evokes a certain time instantly for those music supervisors. I'm sure that's if they need something from the early 80s, that's what they would play.
But maybe it's an obvious, like, you know, K-Rock eliminating it from their...
Who knows?
Their charts.
Who knows? I don't approve of that. I do approve of the harmonica on this cut, and that's played by Judd Lander, who was a member of the Mercy Beat group, The Hideaways.
Hmm.
The Hideaways played the Cavern Club more than the Beatles.
That's their claim to fame.
Lander would later play with Paul McCartney's Wings, and he became the head of music for Warner Brothers UK.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. So as some other executives did, they slid over from musician
into executive.
To executive, yeah.
Judd Lander. The harmonica is great in that. I mean, because I instantly hear that's part of the introduction and it lends itself to the song.
I can't hear harmonica without thinking about My Little Harmonica, which is what Monica Geller's dad and friends called her, My Little Harmonica.
All right.
So sorry.
No, that's fine. You should. Are you excited about the Friends reunion?
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm on the fence. I mean, I'm watch it.
Of course. So you're all in.
I was all in to Friends, but yes, I'll be all in to the Friends reunion. Yeah. You?
Maybe. I enjoyed it. It's amazing how that show has been adopted by younger generations.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Your kids watched it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friends and The Office. Those seem to have the staying power that the other shows we watched did not.
Seinfeld,
not so much.
No, I know.
Yeah. We adopted the Brady Bunch, and what else did we watch?
The Partridge Family.
Sure. But these others, yeah, some shows, but those have fallen by the wayside. If you mentioned the Brady Bunch, they wouldn't even know the movies, I don't think.
No. That's so sad.
It's very sad. Let's move on to number 24. This is the Rolling Stones. Probably the last time we will say the name the Rolling Stones on our 80s compilation of K-Rock songs. This is Undercover of the Night from their album Undercover.
See, I was going to guess that this was the one that had fallen off.
It is the other. I said there were two.
I know. That's, okay. No, I know. But I looked at the next one. Never mind. I'm
cheating?
Not jumping ahead. I was cheating. Yeah. Okay. So I know that you like this. You like this era of the Rolling Stones.
I didn't realize I liked it at the time.
Oh.
Upon 1983, the Stones weren't a band I wanted to hear. I don't think, you know.
That's what I thought. This is what I thought we talked about this. And but you liked some of the stuff that was released.
Well, upon further review. Upon further review, this era is, it's quite appealing to me. I was kind of surprised because, 1983, I wanted to hear Echo and the Bunnymen. I wanted to hear REM. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear English Beat. I did not want to hear Rolling Stones.
Exactly.
But their sound from this era, it sounds like the Stones, but it's still, but it's more of that era.
It's a little more poppy.
It fits in with the era. I can see why K-Rock played it at the time. And this was a hit, this song. Yeah. Undercover of the Night became a number 9 hit in the U.S.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually, last night, I listened to Undercover, the album, because I hadn't ever. And
the whole album?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good stuff. It's got the She Was Hot on there. Remember that song?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Some really good things on there. I don't know. I think it's more Jagger and less Richards, this album.
Huh.
Yeah, just some different sounds. Of course, it gets me excited to see this. Like, I want to see the Rolling Stones again.
They're
playing in San Diego this summer.
At a big venue?
Yeah, that's what they do. They play big venue.
I mean, there's Coliseum big, and then there's,
the San Diego, wherever the Padres play. They will not play any songs from Undercover. I can guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. And there was keyboard in the song.
Sure. Who plays keyboard on? Oh, is it Bobby Keys? No, Bobby Keys is a saxophonist. It was,
I know you got this.
All right, go ahead, tell me.
Chuck Lavelle.
Chuck Lavelle, yes. Okay.
Allman Brothers.
Remember the Undercover of the Night video?
I didn't remember the video until I read
violent.
About it.
Yeah. It's just not, that kind of disturbed me a little bit looking back on that.
Well, obviously disturbed a lot of people because they did air it on MTV, but most of the other video outlets did not play it.
Yeah. You don't need to arm Keith Richards with a automatic rifle.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you do not.
But watching Jagger with a mustache playing a detective was kind of silly fun. But, they're trying to act. It was directed by Julian Temple.
Oh, yeah.
So
it was about, for those who don't know, it was about a Central American, it was a political song. It was when the U.S. was supporting the Contras in Nicaragua. And he says, Mick Jagger said it was heavily influenced by William Burroughs' Cities of the Red Night which was a novel about political and sexual repression, combines a number of different references to what was going down in Argentina and Chile.
Now you could see why it was a top 10 hit. That's what the people wanted to hear.
Yes.
Which is insane. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it was.
It worked, I guess. I didn't love the song.
It's still a good song. It's not, yeah. I still prefer Too Much Blood. When I heard Too Much Blood, like, that's really good. This is good as well. And there's a, anyway. If you want to revisit a Rolling Stones album, a lost classic, I could recommend listening to Undercover. Yeah, give it a listen.
Okay, Dave's recommendation.
You might enjoy it.
This doesn't represent the the official thoughts of What Difference Does It Make podcast.
We have to put that non-disclosure or not
disclaimer.
Disclaimer, yeah, put on a disclaimer.
We have to put the disclaimer on it.
All right, number 23, Suicidal Tendencies Institutionalized.
Institutionalized.
I'm not crazy.
That's not the parentheses, though.
You're the one that's crazy. Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
It's funny, listening to this album, or listening to this track, it's like, you know what? The parents were being reasonable. As a guy who's been a parent now, like, you know what? The parents were concerned. They wanted to, they saw their son wasn't really focused, or maybe he was, but you know, he needed to guide his energy in a different way. Can we help you? Is there any way you can help me? And you know, it's like, just, I'm fine. Get me a Pepsi. I'm good. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's wrong with him? He's, you know, I could manage the parents just talking and like, what are we going to do?
It sounds more like the 60s parents. What are we going to do about our son?
Could be, but yeah. I mean, I would imagine I would be doing the same thing. Much like, yeah, I watch Back to the Future now, and I relate more to the parents than to Marty McFly.
That's pretty funny. I never really thought about that, but
sure.
Yeah.
I see it all. Oh, stupid old experience now that... I don't know.
Now that you have troubled children,
very fortunate that I did not have troubled children.
Yeah.
Did you see the video? Have you watched the video over there?
You know, I did not watch the video.
Oh.
I remember.
Video's a hoot. It's it's great. Love it.
Yeah. So it's funny. This song was in some of the two movies, Suburbia and Repo Man. And I think I actually remember it from Repo Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fitting. You should.
Very fitting.
In the video, the parents are played by Jack Nance. You might know him as Eraserhead.
Yep.
And he was part of David Lynch's acting company. Yep. He was always in Twin Peaks and any movie of his.
She's dead.
And the mother was played by Mary Warrenov. She was in, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Eating Raoul, which is also from 82, 83. Yeah. She was in that. She was one of Andy Warhol's factory girls. They all had, I mean, the actors in this video have like a great history behind them. Do you like this song?
Yeah, I like this song. It's funny to say I like the song. It's not like it's musical. It's not music to my ears, but it's reminiscent to me.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So still, I like the song.
Doesn't it pump you up with testosterone? Testosterone. Yes. And you just want to.
Yeah, I don't get that often. I don't get that often. Oh, okay. Yeah, it does. It's got a certain energy.
It does. That's great. I mean, even as if the song fades out, Mike Muir, he's like, it doesn't matter. I'll probably get hit by a car anyway. I love that song. It still works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, this is still on the updated list. It's number 22. Now we are on 1983. We're at number 22. This is Tim Scott with the song Swear. And this is still on the list. As now I've revealed, it's at number 21.
Huh.
Do you like this song?
Yeah, I didn't remember this song.
You don't? Do you remember Sheena Easton's version? Like a year later, in 85, she did a version of the song.
No.
Oh, I'll post that on the website. It wasn't a big hit. It didn't. I think it reached number 80 on the Billboard charts.
Okay.
Well, she did something. She did a good version. I saw actually the version I will post will be on the her singing the song on American Bandstand. Kind of fun.
Oh, fun. It's got a good beat and you can dance to it.
I know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a good song. It was still a good song. I was reading a little bit about it, and apparently Tim Scott does not like this song, or didn't like the direction of the musical direction of this.
Is that true?
Particular era. Yeah. Oh,
well, okay.
Okay.
Well, he's entitled to his opinion.
He is entitled to his opinion. However wrong he may be.
Right. He said, it was my young and confused record. I wrote the song over a couple of weeks on my little Casio keyboard. And then Sire Records heard it and they offered me a deal.
Like, all right, fine.
Yeah. That's how things happened, I guess, back then.
I guess so. Since 2007, he's gone under the artist name Leadfoot and created the music genre Gothic Blues. He calls himself the master of Gothic Blues. There you go.
Gothic Blues. You can see my confused face.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tim Scott, now known as Leadfoot. The fun fact that blew my mind that I did not realize is that he wrote the song High Hopes, which is a song that Bruce Springsteen has covered. He covered twice. He did this for the Band of Brothers documentary. He had like a EP where he did the song High Hopes. And then, yeah, this was a song, High Hopes, he wrote in 85. And then Bruce recorded it in 96. Well, then in 2014, he's touring with Tom Morello. Mm. You know, Tom Morello's in the E Street Band. And Tom was like, we need to revive this song, High Hopes. Let's do, let's try this. And Tom kills it on this, which he does with every song. Yeah. So it was re-recorded and it's on his High Hopes album. It was written by Tim Scott, which I had no idea.
That's really cool. Royalties.
I had no idea. Yeah, it's a really good song. Love it. And of course, you know, I love the updated version, the Tom Morello.
Yeah, I'm going to look for that.
Yeah. I mean, you'll hear it and go, oh, okay. I think you'll remember it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I had no idea that he was responsible for the song.
Oh, that's very good because I could not find that much information on him himself.
On Leadfoot? Maybe you should have looked up Leadfoot.
Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't know. I wasn't directed to Leadfoot.
Did you look up Godfather of Gothic Blues?
Gothic Blues. That's what I missed.
The Master of Gothic Blues? All right. Last song of this episode.
Make a Circuit with Me.
The Polecats.
Yep. Number 21. Well, yes. That's number 21 today.
And number 20 on the updated list.
Yes. As it should be.
It's a
rockabilly.
It's a rockabilly song.
Yeah.
They were originally called the Cult Heroes. And then they had difficulty persuading promoters to book them on the rockabilly circuit with a name that sounded too punk.
Yes.
So the drummer is like, oh, what about the Polecats? And like, yeah. That's it. Let's do it. And so they became the Polecats.
Do they have any other? Do you recall any of their other songs?
No, I just know that song. This feels like a one hit wonder, or are they?
I thought it was a one hit wonder, but they actually covered "John, I'm Only Dancing," and I guess in the UK it charted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they also did a cover version of "Jeepster." You know, the Mark Bolan and the T-Rex. Oh, okay. Jeepster. Yeah.
Very nice, but yeah, this was the song. I mean. Did you watch the video at all?
I didn't watch the video.
Okay. I mean, you just watch them and go, yeah, this is so, so rockabilly. Their look was just stray cats.
It actually does make you want, this song makes me want to do that rockabilly dance more than even the stray cats.
Yeah.
This particular song.
And lyrically, I think it's fun. I think it's just a great play. Just a sweet romance is not for me. I need electricity. If you want to make me flip, hit me with a microchip. I'll be a diode, cathode, electrode, overload, generator, oscillator, make a circuit with me. I mean, genius. Just, I like how, you know, they take a theme and they go with it.
Yeah. That's all fitting.
In a danceable rockabilly way.
Yeah. That's fun. It still makes you want to get up and dance.
Of course. It should be in the top 20 of the K-Rock list.
And it is.
And it is. And so thusly ends this episode of the What Difference Does It Make podcast, where we count them down. We always end with a quiz. If I remember correctly, last week I asked you questions and you got 100%.
I did.
Let's see if you can top that. Let's see if you can get 110%.
Let's see. Maybe I'll throw in a bonus question.
Go ahead. Okay. So Holly's going to ask me some questions based on this book that she found in a garage sale or something.
It's been tripping us up a lot with the years, of which there are going to be a couple, but not many.
All right.
Who had a hit in 1983 with the song, Is There Something I Should Know?
Well, that is Duran Duran.
All right, you're one for one. In which year did the group Duran Duran release the song Hungry Like a Wolf?
Hungry Like a Wolf, it's probably, that was the year before, 82.
The year before this, 82, not the year before 1982.
the year before. We were just said 1983.
Yes.
Okay, so 82.
Yes. Which song by Bonnie Tyler begins with the phrase,
"Turn around"?
Very good. You knew that without even... Oh, really? Did you cheat? Well, what song is that?
It's Total Eclipse. This is a song that kept... Sweet Dreams out of the top spot.
Very good.
We were just talking about it.
It all ties together. Yes. All right, 3 for 3.
Okay. Total Eclipse of the Heart, by the way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
For those listening at home that listened, that might have skipped ahead.
Yes, and for those listening at home, you're getting that Dave is not, he doesn't even need the multiple choices.
Oh, okay.
He just knows.
This is, well, I'm going for extra credit, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Which of these albums by the group Queen was released first?
The Game. Because that was 1980.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, it's not on the list?
Nope.
Okay. So what are the song? What are my choices?
Your choices are Hot Space, A Kind of Magic, or The Works was released first. Just between those three.
Well, then Hot Space it's got to be Hot Space.
Good. Very good.
But The Game came before that in 1980.
Yes, it did. 80.
Yes.
Yes, I know, but so, that wasn't one of your choices.
It should have been.
Yes.
All right, keep going.
Who released the song Undercover of the Night in 1983?
Wow, look at us.
This is so perfect. You know, I did not handpick this quiz.
We love the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. There we go.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
All right, which
just
of these...
Just officially, you know, okay. So it's on the record there.
You're 5 for 5.
All right.
Which of these albums by
five
the group...
5 for fighting. Oh,
no, not okay. In the 1980s.
Okay. Ooh, you would get 5 for fighting if...
Which of these albums by the group Chicago was released in 1988?
Oh, well, they all did in order, right? The numbers?
Yep.
So
your choices are 17, 18, or 19.
Okay, so I'm sorry. What was the question again? Which one came...
Which of these albums by Chicago was released in 1988? Chicago 17, Chicago 18, Chicago 19.
The lamest question I've ever been asked.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go with 19.
Good guess. Right. You are correct.
Okay.
Wow, you are 6 for 6.
All right. I have no idea what... Oh, is it... what do you think Hard Habit to Break is on there?
It's... I believe... Chicago...
Because I have no idea. Because they were... You know, they numbered all their albums.
Chicago 19. That was 1988. Was that Hard Habit to Break?
Hard Habit to Break. I don't know. Let's see, 16th studio album. Chicago 19 is a 16th studio album, released in 88 with David Foster. Final album to feature the band's original drummer, as we all know, their drummer, Danny Serafine. The album includes Look Away.
Oh, that was from...
Number one, I Don't Want to Live Without Your Love. Number three, yeah. You're Not Alone. Number 10. They had 3 hits.
Hard Habit to Break was before that.
Probably.
Yeah. All right.
But, you know, still, big album. Wow.
Yeah. 19.
Good on Chicago. Keep going.
Number 7. The song How Will I Know was released by which
Whitney Houston.
Star? Excellent.
How Will I Know Whitney Houston?
You got this.
All right.
Who sang with Paul McCartney on the 1982 song Ebony and Ivory?
Stevie Wonder. How many choices do I have?
That's it. I should mark you wrong on that.
Yeah.
All right, in which year did the group Duran Duran release Is There Something I Should Know?
Didn't you ask that question?
Wait, oh no. The other question was, who had a hit in 1983 with the song Is There Something I Should Know? This is a freebie for you. In which year did the group Duran Duran release the song Is There Something I Should Know?
All right, so is this originally? I mean, we're talking 83 or originally when they released it in...
It's not a trick question.
Okay, so 83.
Wow. Okay, that's a freebie.
All right. That's, who's the editor on this?
We're going to tweet them.
Write a strongly worded letter.
Okay. You'll never guess this one.
Okay, good.
How many members were there in the group The Police?
They were not a duo? Was this a duo, like Tears for Fears or Hall & Oates?
They were not a duo, nor were they a
law firm of Sting Sumner, Sting.
Andy, Sting Copeland and
Andy
Summers.
That's so funny, because I think Sumner, but yeah.
Yeah, he was.
I know, Sumner. Sting is Sumner. Threw me off.
Summers, Sumner, and Copeland, yeah. LLC.
There you go, LLC, my favorite trio.
Very good. You are 10 for 10. Woo-hoo. Congratulations.
Well,
you rival. You didn't beat me. Let me. This is too much pressure. I can't come up with a
That's all right. Those were...
Or I don't want you to top
not,
me.
Not the best questions, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what you chose. This is what you found.
Our options were limited.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. What do we got? Where do you go? Okay. After listening to this, you listen on our Spotify playlist.
You can listen to our Spotify playlist.
Which is on the website.
On the website. Or you can, yes, go to our website and link to it. Or on our social media. Yeah, you can
WDDIMpodcast.com.
Sorry, I didn't let you get that out, did I? Yeah.
Gotta say that. Okay.
You can also find it on our Facebook page, What Difference Does It Make, or on our Twitter.
You got your Twitter. You got your Instagram.
Yeah, you can find it anywhere. If you want to hear us, you can find us.
Okay.
We are everywhere.
It's all on WDDIMpodcast.com. I would also encourage you to sign up with your email, and in a few weeks, we'll
start sending you fun stuff.
Hopefully. That would be wonderful.
Wait, hopefully.
That's the big plan. Yes. Hopefully. Hopefully I'll be able to figure out how to do all this.
Dave is on it.
Yeah, I am on it. So are you. We're all on this. Yes. The entire What Difference Does It Make news team is on this.
The whole team.
All right. Excellent. So, until next week.
Thank you for listening to the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
This is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.